The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Tiger even threw one today. He's at 4 under. Raj, what did I just say? Was I speaking English?
You did good, man. You did good. I'm proud of you.
You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. About to find out where Kendrick Perkins thinks Russell Westbrook will wind up. Just keep in mind, when someone like Kendrick Perkins speculates, he's not speculating like the rest of you, okay? Or the rest of us. It's a little different. Although I got to tell you, ESPN really does a great job of this. And social media generally, you can, like, a lot of times, you know, I have access to, say, Woj, right? So I can find out stuff that's going on, and sometimes he's not at liberty to report things yet, right? And I can find out from him or friends of mine in the business, many of whom work at ESPN, some who don't. But really, actually, if you want to know what's going on, go to ESPN.com. Like, it's right there. Like, a lot of times people stop me, hey, Max, what do you think about? And they're asking me for some, like, what's the lowdown on it? I'm like, I just read the article on ESPN.com like you. What do you mean? Like the stuff that that Ramona Shelburne, whoever reported, it's in there. Go read it. This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. NFL's top young guns about to go at it. Chargers and Justin Herbert versus Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins. Josh Allen and the Bills. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Ooh, some good matchups. How would I list those young quarterbacks? Jay Will and Keyshawn and Zubin. They were talking about this Mahomes to Justin Herbert comparison that I referenced on First Take today. They were talking about it in the morning. I thought it was on Get Up. Maybe it was on the morning radio show. I consume so much media. Like, I mean to give credit where it's due, and I just, you know, sometimes forget the provenance of the... But anyway... When I look at Justin Herbert, show me a weakness. I'm sure it's there, but show me a weakness. He's not a... Okay, fine. You know what? Here, not in terms of talent, but it's a talent of sorts. He's not as rah-rah as a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Like, the thing that's so special about Mahomes is he has all of Aaron Rodgers' decision-making and talent, plus Brett Favre's rah-rah gunslinger stuff, but without the mistakes of Favre, but with more kind of juice than Rodgers for his team. In terms of motivating his team. So Mahomes is just different. But I tell you what, when I look at Herbert, does he have durability? Knock wood so far. Does he have size? Yeah, he's tall. Is he mobile? Yeah. He can not only move around in the pocket, he can escape defenses, pick up first downs with his legs, also extend plays with his legs, keeping his eyes downfield. How's his arm? It's a laser-guided rocket. Does he read defense as well? Yes, he processes information quickly, goes through his reads, his progressions. Does he have the moxie to try to push the ball down the field? Yes, check, 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 check. You know, I was surprised that Sam Darnold didn't go ahead of Mayfield, Baker Mayfield. And I was wrong about Baker Mayfield, but I thought he should have been the first pick in the draft. But I thought, because even though Sam Darnold checked more boxes, to me, it's like, just take the guy you think is best. And I mistakenly thought Baker was best at the time. But usually the guy that checks all the boxes, that's the guy that they draft because GMs can cover themselves, right? If it doesn't go well, hey, look at him. He had this. Justin Herbert, as a product in terms of the X's and O's, tell me one thing that he doesn't do. Here's the guys talking about it on the morning show this morning. I agree, man. Herbert's got the whole package. Top five QBs on the Max Kellerman Show, brought to you by Allstate. Get better protected with Allstate. You've never been in better hands. All right. Let's start at number five. Now, Josh Allen, I'm going to start with. Josh Allen is like Justin Herbert light. He's big. Like, Herbert's tall and he looks sturdy. He's not like slightly built. Big and strong. Josh Allen's big and strong. Josh Allen has a big arm. Josh Allen's mobile and athletic. But Josh Allen, throughout his career, especially not as a rookie, was not as consistent as Justin Herbert. Consistently accurate. But this year, even he's been up and down, but when he's been up, he's been way up. Spent a little too much time down to be in the MVP conversation. But even the fact that we're talking about that, and this is the year it's supposed to happen, right? Get a couple years under your belt, and you're supposed to start taking off in the modern game. Josh Allen has, he doesn't check all the boxes yet because you have to see him be accurate consistently over time. He's a big, young, strong, athletic, big-armed quarterback on a good team, well-coached. Number four, Justin Herbert, but with a bullet. Justin Herbert, as I said on First Take today, he started out this season playing one Hall of Fame caliber quarterback after another, and I never got the sense that they were better than him. I'm going to put up the Chargers schedule on my phone, Raj, because I need to remember. I can't remember offhand all of the quarterbacks he faced, but I remember thinking, damn, I just saw him go up against that guy, and he belonged. Like, Herbert was just as good, if not better, or at least, okay, this is how the season started. Bengals against Joe Burrow. That was interesting. Chargers won, right? Lost to the Chiefs, barely. Patrick Mahomes. Bridgewater. Tom Brady. Had a big lead on Tom Brady. Drew Brees. Dude, five guys. Like, none of those guys were better than him. Mahomes, Brady, Brees, Burrow. None of those guys are better than him. Number three is Lamar Jackson. I suspect Herbert will wind up above Lamar Jackson, but right now you cannot ignore the fact that, yes, Lamar has come up small against the Chiefs, 0-3, small against the Steelers with Roethlisberger, 0-1, small in the playoffs, 0-2, and he played poorly, especially in his first game, although he got better throughout that game, and in the second game played better than he played in the first. So he's 0-6 in those games. He's 25-1 in all other games, including against teams like the Colts this year and Seattle last year. You could say whatever you want about Lamar Jackson and where his trajectory like goes, right? Is he still ascending at the same rate? But at this moment, there are only two young quarterbacks I would take over Lamar, and one of them is the forgotten man. And the reason he's the forgotten man is because he doesn't put up as gaudy numbers as some of the others. And if you look at the analytics, he's not going to wow you like some of the others. And also, right now, he's on a bad team. But I'd still take him second overall. And that's Deshaun Watson. I've seen what Deshaun Watson can do, even without much of an offensive line. And I believe in him. Again, I don't know if he winds up above Justin Herbert or Burrow as they get going. But right now, there's only one guy I'd take ahead of him among the young quarterbacks. Just because he's in a bad situation, I haven't forgotten about him. But the one guy's obviously Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes in a class by himself. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's not obviously the most accomplished, but he won regular season MVP. Then he won Super Bowl MVP. I think this season he probably does both and probably breaks some touchdown to interception ratios along the way. So there it is. Patrick Mahomes, 1. Deshaun Watson, 2. Lamar Jackson, 3. Justin Herbert with a bullet, 4. Josh Allen, 5. Those are my young quarterbacks as of this moment. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's up, Perk?
What's up, Max? Hey, long time no here. I know you get tired of taking L's from me, so I didn't know if you wanted to bring me back on your show L's. For a while, so I know you just wanted to keep getting a couple wins, so I L's. Understand. Hey, but it's good that you got me back on, though. I've been missing you, Mac.
L's? Kendrick yeah, Perkins? L's. How dare you? Kendrick Perkins? You big ugly bear? I'm like Cassius Clay with you. You can't touch me. I'll dance circles around you. Hey, Perk, where's your grandma? Why isn't she on this show? Come on, we've been talking about this for months already.
Listen, Granny stayed 2 hours away. She's not good with technology. Matter of fact, look, Granny still has a flip phone, Max. She's behind time, okay? You know, she grew up in 1935. So can you imagine if we tried to FaceTime her, if I tried to three-way her in, she wouldn't know how to do it. So Park, I would have to go pick Granny up.
My mother is about the same age as your grandmother. My mother's 82, just turned 82. I got her phone three times now. I got them with the big buttons for her. She still doesn't use it. She loses it. She doesn't know. But I'm not trying to hear that. I want Granny on the show. Did just grandmother raise you? Is this the one that raised you?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So come on. You put Granny on the show. First of all, what are you doing living 2 hours away from the woman who raised you? What kind of payback is that? She should be living in the house with you, Perk.
Man, she got her own 5,000 square foot house.
Oh,
what she needs to stay with me for?
Oh, and who got her that 5,000 square foot house?
Yours truly with my first NBA check.
Oh, hold on.
Before I bought myself something.
Forget about what we're going to talk about for a second. I want to hear that story. So you make the league, and you're raised by your grandmother, and your first check comes in, and did you surprise her with it? Did you take her on a tour of houses? How did that go down? I want to hear the details.
So I was raised on a farm. My mom was – short story. My mom was killed when I was five. Mm-hmm. I was raised by my grandparents, right? We didn't have much. My inspiration to get to the NBA or to make something out of my life was to get them out of their situation. Mm-hmm. So when I made it to the NBA out of high school with my first NBA check, my first two NBA checks, I put a down payment and bought them a house. And I also bought my grandpa a truck, and I bought my grandma a car before I bought myself anything.
I
didn't surprise her. I didn't take her house shopping. I went and picked out the house. I furnished it, and I just told her to leave everything that she had, her and my grandpa at the old house, and come ride with me. I took the car that they was already driving and drove it off, and I said, here, gave them the keys to their house, gave them the keys to their cars. And there you go.
What did they do? Hold on. So it was a surprise. So you went and you bought, you scouted it out, found the right house, furnished the whole thing, brought them there in a new car, right? They or had the new car waiting there. Whatever. That's now their car. You take the old car away, and they have a whole new life, right? Because of their hard work with you and your hard work to get to where you were. And what happened? What was the moment like when you walked in the door? What did they say?
Best feeling in the world. Matter of fact, my grandmother is tough. I've seen her cry a few times at funerals, but she's not a woman that shows emotions. She was like, oh, my God, I need to go get such and such from the old house. I was like, no, Granny, this is what it is. But my grandfather, for my first time ever in my life, I seen him shed tears.
Mm. Oh, my God. I could listen to that story all day. Meantime, we got to get this Westbrook stuff in. Perk, it seems to me your boy is heading to the Knicks because Dolan knows he needs excitement at the Garden. The Brooks are the Brooklyn Nets are New York's team now. They're not running unopposed at the Garden anymore. They don't know how to draft. They don't know how to develop. They can't get free agents to take their money. Westbrook plays all out all the time. New York would love him. I got to think they got the cap space to do it. I got to think they're getting. Where's Westbrook heading?
It got to be the Knicks, or I would not be surprised. Listen, I'm dropping the bomb on you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit is working behind the scenes. Because, listen, we have to remember that Troy Weaver from Oklahoma City Thunder is now the general manager with the Detroit Pistons. And he was the one that drafted Russell Westbrook mm-hmm. when he was there in Oklahoma City. So I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit is trying to work something out. But the New York Knicks look like the front runners to land in Russell Westbrook. And I tell you one thing, if they get Russell Westbrook and a motivated Russ, the New York Knicks are going to make the playoffs. And Max, you could be proud to be a Knicks fan for once, because I know you've been down in the dumps for the last 15 to 20 years maybe.
Yeah.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, but I'm going to be a Knicks fan until Dolan sells the team. I can't take it anymore, and I suggest but I agree. Westbrook will lead them to the playoffs. They don't have championship aspirations, the Knicks, anymore because they're a bum franchise. But he'll lead them to the playoffs, and I think New York would love him. Knowing Westbrook, where would he rather be, in the Big Apple or in the Motor City?
he would love to be in the Big Apple. You know, he's a fashion king. It would be marketable. It's marketable for him. But, Max, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I know you wouldn't be a you said until Dolan is gone, then you'll become a Knicks fan again. But Russell Westbrook is your favorite player, Max.
I know. It's going to be
so
really tough.
So how are you going to work that? That's what I'm saying. So you got to put your pride aside and roll with your favorite player.
I mean, look, the reality is if this is why Dolan's going to do it. Because even though it doesn't mean championships, but they have no chance to get a championship. No one will take their money. They can't draft and develop. It's going to be irresistible to watch Russell Westbrook at the Garden drag the Knicks kicking and screaming into the playoffs by playing all out every game. New York would love him. And it's a natural. It's a natural.
But Max, listen, the beef that you have with Dolan, that we all have with Dolan, if Russ goes to the Knicks, you got to leave the beef in the freezer right next to the chicken, okay?
Yeah, so I leave it, but I can always thaw it out at a later date, you're saying. Hey, Perk, this is my thing, okay? This is my thing, all right? I think you'll appreciate it. When I used to stand online, Knicks tickets, playoff tickets, if you weren't connected, you know, went on sale a certain, like 9 a.m., whatever date, everyone used to get there the night before. My late great brother Sam and me stood online. My little brother and me stood online all night. You basically had to camp out all night to get your Knicks playoff tickets. We didn't have season tickets, right? To get your Knicks all night. You know why we stood online all night? Not because Jim Dolan, who inherited his team from his daddy and thought he did something, had anything to do. No, because Charles Oakley was giving up his body every night. And when they asked him about it, he said, you grew up on a farm? He said, playing basketball is just like being a farmer. You wake up before the sun comes up and you work hard all day. That's what New Yorkers appreciated. And Jim Dolan had the nerve to have Oakley escorted from Madison Square Garden by the cops? For what? Because he hurt Jim Dolan's little feelings, his thin-skinned feelings? Could you imagine? It's like if Paul O'Neill for the Yankees or someone, if Steinbrenner had him escorted out of it would never happen.
Right, right.
Until he apologizes to Oakley publicly, I'm not rooting for the Knicks, and I'm going to suggest to everyone in New York to root for the Nets. They're New York's team now. He needs to apologize. He needs to apologize to Oak.
He definitely do. He definitely do. It was disrespect. But look, what else you expect? See, Max, this is the thing. Just like with you and Stephen A., I expect certain things out of y'all. I expect y'all to say certain things. So when y'all do say things that I disagree with, which is probably 80% of the time, it don't surprise me because I expect the foolishness to come out of your mouth, okay?
I see. Well, listen, you grew up on a farm. Maybe I'll explain it to you in chicken eggs from now on, okay? Oh, wait, Perk doesn't understand. Okay, Perk, imagine there's a fence and a chicken and a horse. Would that make it easier for you to understand what I'm saying? Come at me with L's. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, Perk, this is how serious I am about Granny. I want you, me, and Granny to do a whole show special together. I need to meet Granny. I need to keep her on the whole. She's a fight fan, right? I want to do a special Max on Boxing with Granny.
No, look, Max, I'm with that, right? But I just feel like what you're trying to do is you're trying to find some inside information so you could tear me in the ground. Yep. And I'm not ready for you to get that type of information yet.
Get
I
ready.
I need to keep you on the bottom while I'm on top and keep handing you these L's. I can't afford to give you no W's and no wins. That's not how this works, Max. And I know I'm on your show, but I just handed you a few L's today.
Well, listen, you know what happens when someone hands you L's, right? Smoke them. That's why you get smoked.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Take a couple of calls this segment. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Public Enemy. Raj, did I ever tell you about the time J.A. Adonde took me to this, he's like, no, I'm going to a lecture at NYU. I'm like, man, I'm not going to a lecture at NYU. Like, okay. No, it's good. It's about Public Enemy. I show up at this, so I'm there with JA, and we're watching this, and a bunch of academics are on stage going, I remember the first time I heard Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos. And they're trying to like, all right, I'm out. I hate the intellectualization of music, and I'm good at that and everything, but like the music critics and the – it's art. You feel it or you don't feel it, right? Sure. Like there's no, I don't need to go into analysis of it. I suppose if like it's a novel or something like that, fine. There's, you know, lines of analysis. But music, you need to go into analysis. Either it speaks to you or it doesn't.
Yeah, we got to reach it. We got to get Chuck D on. He follows both of us on Twitter. I know Chuck he's a fan D. of the show, so we got to get Chuck on.
Chuck D is a real Renaissance man. Like, this guy, you know, his baseball knowledge is deep, everything. And obviously socially conscious, but very – Chuck D is a very – not only a titan in the history of music, really, but a really interesting guy. Yeah, we should get Chuck D on. Why haven't you done that already, Raj? You're falling down on the job.
My short-term memory, man. I get caught up forgetting stuff. I'll reach out.
You know what I noticed that, too? And I'm going to get to the football in a second. But by the way, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. This thought I'm about to have is presented by someone. everything I say is now presented by someone. I'm at home talking to the kids. Let me give you some straight talk. Esther, presented by Progressive Insurance. Straight Talk Wireless. Sorry, excuse me. If I get it wrong, then I have to. I get a timeout. Phones are designed like my 12-year-old just got a phone. We gave her a phone. Like all her friends have phones. I get it. She's turning 12, and we really do need to know where she is and stuff like that. And
I'm okay.
And at a certain point, like it, but they're distraction devices. You know, like I pick up my phone to email. I have to return an email. And 20 minutes later, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not returning the email because the little things pop up that tell you that you have a direct message on Twitter and then you wind up looking at something on Twitter and then someone texts you. And there's a million ways to distract yourself because, of course, it's not a phone. It's a computer. It's a camera. It's a million different things, right? It's not just a phone. You don't pick up your phone. You call it a phone, but it's not. It's a phone plus a million different things that come actually before the phone part. The first thing is it's a portable computer. And I'm completely distracted by it. And as you can see, I'm not talking about the Ravens and Patriots right now. I'm distracted just by the topic. How am I supposed to conduct my life with this phone? Who needs it more, Cam or Lamar? Cam needs to win more than Lamar. That doesn't mean the Patriots win the game because the Ravens are a much better team than the Patriots. But I will remind people, the Dolphins are pretty good, right? And they ended last season pretty good. Patriots beat them 21-11 to start the season. Seahawks are very good. Patriots lost goal line stand. Raiders are very good. They beat the Chiefs. Beat the brakes off the Chiefs. Pats beat them by better than two touchdowns. Then Cam got COVID. They couldn't practice, and they didn't have Cam. They lose to the Chiefs by about two touchdowns, a little more. But calls went against them. They played the Chiefs very tough. That was a tough competitive game, and they got jobbed. Okay, but they lose. They were going to lose to the Chiefs anyway. They lose to the Broncos. Cam is back, but, you know, you have COVID. What do you think, there are no lingering effects? They got destroyed by Garoppolo and the Niners. That was really their first bad loss of the season. Looking back at it, they really needed that Broncos game. When you look at your schedule, the winning teams beat the Broncos because you're going to lose some other games, as they did to the Seahawks and the Chiefs. The Tom Brady-led Pats win that Broncos game. The Cam-led Pats did not. And you're not used to seeing them get blown out as they were against the Niners. That was really a turning point in the season because they were, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. They were 2-2 at the time of the Broncos game, but two quality losses to the Chiefs without Cam and calls go against them and it's competitive for a lot of the game, and to the Seahawks by a goal line stand, those are quality losses. And they had two quality wins against the Dolphins and the Raiders. Those wins look better and better. So the pivotal point comes against the Broncos. They dropped that game. And now they're under 500. And now they're playing the Niners, and they got stomped. And that's when it's like, okay, their season's really, it went from like, oh, this is actually a promising season to no good. Then they had a chance to get it right against the Bills, and he gets stripped at the end of the game on a drive that looked like was going to win the game for the Patriots. But they eked past the Jets. And I know the Jets are a bad team, and it took heroics from Cam and linked up with Jacoby Myers at the end of the game. They eked past the Jets. The Ravens are a really good team. As I said, Lamar Jackson does not lose to these kind of games. The Ravens only ever lose to the Chiefs, the Steelers, or in the playoffs. They don't lose otherwise with Lamar. And for everyone who thinks Lamar really needs this, Lamar and the Ravens will be fine, win or lose. But the AFC East is still competitive if the Patriots win this game. They're 3-5. They go 4-5. If they're 4-5, by the way, Dolphins got a tough one, or at least the one that they could lose. Like, Chargers are good. They just seem to lose games. They figure out ways to lose, but then they got a great quarterback, great young quarterback. The Bills could also easily lose their game. And all of a sudden, you're 4-5, and the division leader is 7-3, and you're nipping at the heels of the 5-4 team right ahead of you. It's a huge game for the Patriots. And given Cam's performance this season so far, a huge game for his career. Ryan Clark was talking about Cam could wind up losing permanently his status, or at least for the time being, like going forward. He'd have to reprove himself as a starting NFL quarterback. No, Cam and the Patriots are going to be the more desperate team here, but they are clearly the inferior team. There's more on the line for Cam Newton than Lamar Jackson in this game. He needs it more. What about Tom Brady, though, huh? Don't lose to the Panthers. Not after losing to Breeze and them the way he did.
Max, the podcast.
It's Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Tiger even threw four today. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance, just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. All right. Dr. Pepper, call in line 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
How you doing, Max? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make sure that Derek Jeter gets his flowers. He gets his respect for what he's done with the Marlins, as you started off the show with, bringing in Kim Ng. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name.
It's Ang.
The fact of the matter is Ng.
It's pronounced like A-N-G, Ang.
Ang.
Yep.
Gotcha. 6 years in the MLB front office, did work with the Yankees, and, you know, the Marlins made the playoffs this year. Jeter had a tough start having to deal Giancarlo, but since then he's been stellar. Folks need to give him his respect.
I agree. Good call from Andre in Massachusetts, giving Jeter respect. You know, that hurts to do, but you got to give respect where it's due. Glenn in – excuse me. That's news from Max Kellerman Nation. Andre just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I did it once, Raj. I'm going to do it again in a second. Trust me, watch this. Glenn in North Hollywood, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello, Max. My question is, do you think it's good hiring practice to hire a coach that's been fired from one team and rehired to another team in the same division, NFL, of course?
Yeah,
my answer is no.
It's not good. Well, it shouldn't be your guiding principle. Like, it should be that you believe in that coach. But if you do believe in that coach and you think they're the right hire and they happen to know the lowdown on a team that they got, you know, why not? Is that your point? Because they have info?
That's basically the premise. I say no, because if you get fired from one team and hired to another team, both teams are bad. What can you do to make this other team better than the team you just got fired from, when the other three teams in that same division has a book on your coaching philosophy?
Well, I don't know.
If you get fired from one team, they're bad. and another team hires you, obviously they're bad. And I'm referencing.
Yeah, but Glenn, I get it. But what I'm saying is, I don't know. Like if the Browns and the Patriots happened to have played in the same division, and Belichick was let go by the Browns, yeah, I'd still scoop him up if I was the Patriots. Both bad teams at the time, right? It's news from Max Kellerman Nation. Glenn just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN at 729-3776. T in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max? Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, Bud Crawford's overrated. Okay. Is Kell Brook a shot fighter? And is this the best Bud Crawford has had to fight?
Well, let me ask you something. Are you saying Bud Crawford is overrated, or are you asking?
I'm that's a statement, Max, in my opinion. Okay. I don't believe he's fought anybody of real significance.
Well, at welterweight, that's right. Well, I mean, Jeff Horn had fought Pacquiao tough. I thought Pacquiao beat him close, but Horn got the decision. But Bud beat the hell out of Jeff Horn. But you're right.
He hasn't. Jeff Horn is the toughest fight? Come on.
Well, no. We're talking about welterweight exclusively now. Yeah. Calviascus, Horn, okay. Those kind of guys, they're tough, but they're not great fighters, but they're good fighters, and he beat them up. In the lighter weight classes, he was clearly dominant at 135 and 140 pounds, right? You're talking about welterweight at this point. But I would say two things about that. One, you're right. His welterweight resume is not deep with, like, top fighters. The PBC guys won't fight him. Nothing he can do about that. All he can do is fight the guys in front of him. Now, if you want to say what has he done at welterweight, maybe Calviascus hit him a little too much for your taste and all that kind of stuff, fine. But I tend to give fighters more credit for moving up into weight classes where they're less dominant and still competing, even in a pound-for-pound sense. In other words, if I think a guy's best fighting weight is 140, and he's fighting at 147, I don't expect him to be as dominant in the higher weight class, but I give him bonus credit, you know, extra credit, because he's taking on that challenge. If people want to say, Max, I have Canelo number one pound-for-pound based on resume, I get it. I'm not going to argue with you. In my opinion, pound for pound's not really based on resume. Where you like ranking a fighter in a weight division is, because suppose that's supposed to ostensibly make the line for the title shot, right? If you're the higher rated guy, you should be next in line for the title shot. If you're number one in a division, the number one contender. So that's like fairness, basic fairness. But pound for pound is not about a title shot. Pound for pound is this distinction where what you're really saying, in my view, is really division for division, not pound for pound. Who do you believe is the most effective fighter in boxing at that moment? And I think Bud Crawford is the most effective fighter in boxing, division for division. But I'm not going to argue. If the criteria for you is having proved it, Canelo has a much better resume, because as the money man, he can attract big name opponents and top opponents, and because he's got a lot of heart, he doesn't duck people. Mark Stein in the New York Times says the Knicks are on a short list for Westbrook. By the way, free boxing on ESPN. You can check me out, Max on Boxing, 5:30 ESPN2. Sure.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.